In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Yes, B. It's on the phone from his home. I'm WRV. Oh, yeah.
There you go.
We love him. Every Thursday or Friday, whatever the hell day it is, Friday at 3, Elliott Shore Parks joins us. It's brought to you by Robin Ford, online at robinford.com, where cars and trucks are sold cheap, cheap. Elliott, how is L.A., my friend?
Doing great. Wish you guys were here. About to go walk down Rodeo Drive. The wife's birthday was yesterday, so I'm sure this is going to be an expensive walk down Rodeo Drive.
Oh, yeah, but that hammer is real, for real.
Palm trees and sticky green, man. Come on, man.
Yeah, it's beautiful out here. Not going to lie. I got a short sleeve shirt on right now. The sun is shining down. So it's, look, it's a work trip, you know, obviously. Excited for the game on Sunday.
Yeah, it sounds like a work trip, Elliott. Rodeo Drive? Yeah. Hmm.
Look, here's what I'll say. I love the partnership we have with fans of Philly, and I'm glad that we're part of it. So it's been great to hang with all the Eagles fans out here.
And Elliott has said to me he likes wearing white because it makes him look tanner, but when he's out there, he can go and get a tan, and then the white looks even better, right, Elliott?
Exactly. Well, you know, the hotel is right on the beach, so just coincidentally, I'll be able to probably lay out there today if I want to. Yeah,
that's how fans of Philly roll, Syke.
I got to tell you.
The game, yeah.
You may stand out here. You don't stand out there in L.A.
No, you do not.
Yeah, trust me. Yeah. They're not impressed by my Twitter following out here, to put it that way.
I actually realized that the last time I was out there because there's a lot of there's not a lot of guys my age here who walk around looking like me in Philadelphia. Right. I get to LA and I'm like, what are all these 50-year-old scuzzballs with tattoos doing? And I'm like, shoot.
It's quite the scene.
Yeah.
Do me a favor.
Yeah.
If you roll past Crypto, get a shot with the Black Mamba statue.
I'd love to do that for you.
Yeah.
No, it's not by SoFi, right?
I have no idea.
No, it's right. No, it is not.
The new Clippers one is.
It's not by SoFi though. It is not. We had the whole Ricky group take a picture.
Statue. Spike hooked me up, so I appreciate it. Yes.
So Elliott, Daniel Jones got cut, and I saw you on Twitter. Now you talked about practice squad. Would you cut Kenny Pickett and sign Daniel Jones?
I would, just because I think Daniel Jones is a better quarterback than Kenny Pickett. I don't think Kenny Pickett's going to be here next year. I think that, you know, based off how he played in the preseason, look how he looked in training camp, I think they'll probably look to get another backup next year. There's not much, cap ramifications of cutting him. But I think Daniel Jones, you saw it a little bit with Justin Fields in Pittsburgh this year. We write these quarterbacks off, but really what happens to the young quarterback is they play for trash organizations that have bad head coaches, bad GMs, and it's hard for them to succeed. So do I think Daniel Jones could be a top 20 quarterback here? Probably not, but I think he has the ability. Obviously he was drafted high, and I think with the Eagles, he'd play way better. So I think Daniel Jones will be smart to sign on the practice squad here, outside of even if the Kenny Pickett thing.
Well, he ain't signed on anybody's practice squad, though. That is sort of a pipe dream, I think.
Let me push back on that a little bit, though, right? So. Yeah. There is, 7 weeks left in the season.
Yep.
He's realistically probably not going to play. Let's just say the Cowboys say to him, you know what, come here and play for us for 7 weeks. Is that really better for his career? That team is a disaster. They're going to fire their head coach. All their good players are hurt. I know that if he comes here, clearly he's not going to play right away, and he won't play at all unless Jalen Hurts gets hurt. But if he comes here on the practice squad, right, which the salary, they're not going to pay him a lot of money anywhere. There's a shot. Who knows? 4 weeks, he's playing for this team as opposed to whatever terrible team is willing to let him play now. So I think it's a smarter career decision for him to be the practice squad here than a 53-man roster somewhere else.
Yeah, I
mean, he's probably getting paid the same. Are the Giants still paying him for the rest of the year?
Yeah. Whoever's going to sign him is probably just going to be a minimum this year. I agree with you. I would just, if I was Daniel Jones, I would say, well, I'm okay that I'm taking a risk, but I would like for you to do a little more than practice squad. And if the goal is to get on the field at some point and you don't believe in Kenny Pickett, I hear what you're saying. I just think it's unlikely he'd do it.
I just think, like, I don't know, is Daniel Jones the one calling the shots out here? Like, is he going to have five teams lining up to sign him? I get your point.
Yes.
Obviously, he wanted to be on the 53, but you think right now there's going to be multiple teams wanting to sign him?
Yep. There is such a quarterback deficit in the NFL. I think there are plenty of teams that are. And the thing that you just said, Justin Fields, Sam Darnold, there's a lot of quarterbacks that end up somewhere, Baker Mayfield, that end up somewhere else. I think there would be a team that says, hey, let's get this guy in here. Our backup stinks anyway, and give him a chance. I don't think there's any doubt there will be multiple teams interested in signing.
But here's the difference. There won't be a good team that signs him.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
It may be a bad team with nothing to really play for or what have you. Yeah, they may do it.
Yeah.
But nobody's signing Daniel Jones with the possibility of him having to play this year on a good team.
Yeah, no, not on a good team. Yeah I agree with you.
I think Daniel Jones could succeed with the Eagles. I think if you put him behind this offense.
Every quarterback can,
Yes, exactly. This year's proof.
I think if Daniel Jones did the smart thing for his career, like take a step back, right? But like to potentially take two steps forward here.
That was for Corey. Elliot.
Believe me, he heard it.
Yeah, it seems like Devontae is trending toward not playing. Have you heard anything there?
Yeah.
So I thought there was a shot he wasn't going to play against Washington. Like this is something he's definitely been dealing with. I don't think he's going to play on Sunday versus Los Angeles. And I think it's probably the right move to make because obviously with a hamstring, I mean, this team now 8-2, they have bigger things to think about, like the postseason, and hamstrings obviously can linger. It is a really important game, though. Like, it's a really, really important game for the number one seed. And I also think if you win this one, it lessens the pressure to have to go to Baltimore win next week. So ultimately, I would be safe with him. Like, I wouldn't push it. But, man, like, they really need this one. So I don't think he'll play, but they could use him out there.
Do you see any trap game potential for this in between Washington and Baltimore?
Definitely. I think this is the first trap game of the year for me. I know there were other games this year. We talked about it. But coming off a big win, you've been on a bit of a layoff. There's a huge game next week against Baltimore. I think that, coming off that big win, too, like they're probably feeling good about themselves, which they've earned, right? They've won six straight games. Los Angeles also, and me and Ike talk about this a lot, like they need this game more. Like, there's so many times that we break down these games and you go like, well, they're better here, there. But ultimately, which team needs it more just sometimes is the bigger deal. And the Rams desperately need this game. The Eagles need it, too, for the number one seed. But the Rams need it to make the postseason, like make the playoffs. So I think they'll win the game. But I do think this is a much tougher game than maybe fans are thinking about it as.
I don't know. I mean, listening to everybody, I think everybody has the proper amount of concern about this game. I agree with everything you guys have just said, except for the fact I don't believe it's a trap game.
That they'll be up for it.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, they still may lose.
Right. That's fair.
But I don't think they're overlooking this Rams team at all.
My coach Sirianni would never allow a trap game.
That's a good point.
Culture master.
Well, and the Rams have won 4 out of 5 games.
Yes.
They've been playing well, and they got enough talent on that offensive side of the ball to get anyone's attention. So the Eagles and their defense, I'm sure they don't want to be embarrassed on national TV on Sunday night. So I think they come out and play. As a matter of fact, this may be a game for QB1 to come out and do his thing.
Oh, wow. That'd be nice.
I'm guessing that was Jack right
I don't press the buttons.
Yeah, we don't press the buttons. Yes.
Yeah, I would also say I think a hugely important player in this game is Jalen Carter. Because while they do have a ton of good players on offense at receiver and quarterback, like their line is not that good.
Yep.
And Matt Stafford, he wants to just sit in that pocket. Like he's old. He's immobile. If you can get him off his spot, I think the Rams will really have trouble moving the ball. So I think Jalen Carter is arguably the most important player in the entire game, even on the offensive side of the ball. I think if he dominates up the middle, the Rams will really have trouble moving it.
So, Elliot, I saw you on Twitter post your case for Quinyon Mitchell, the case for Q to win Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Now, Jared Verse is currently the favorite. How would you... How would you, first of all, how would you make the case? And second, like, can we help in any way? Like, I would love to have him get it.
If he catches an interception, that would help.
That would also help. But nobody throws at him.
I agree, but it's not like he hasn't dropped five of them.
That's a good point as well.
So I posted on Twitter, Blue Sky, Instagram, and Thread. You can get it everywhere.
Please stop. Please stop.
a little cheat sheet, if you will, right? Because I know that right now it's easy if you're a voter for these awards. You go, all right, so Jared Verse has this many sacks. Like, oh, that's simple. You just vote for him. But it's not that simple. If you look at Quinion's stats, he has been one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL this year. He has been a top, like, five arguably cornerback in the NFL. And the stats bear that out. The issue is, yes, he doesn't have interceptions. But he's forcing a ton of incompletions. He's breaking up a ton of passes. He's been really good tackling. I mean, he has 3 missed tackles this year. Jared Verse has 15, right? So I think the statistical argument is on Quinion's side. We just have to get it out there. So I put that little sheet together. You can use it to go out and, you know, maybe tweet it at media members if you want, people that are going to vote. And, you know, we can get this thing going. I've seen Eagles fans do stuff like this before. So I feel like, you know, go out there and help Q.
I will say this.
There it is.
I will say this. It's not only showing up in the betting circles with the odds that Q has jumped up to be the number 2 favorite to win Rookie of the Year. It's being discussed nationally. So it's not as if he's not being discussed.
Yeah, he's number 2. Yeah. I mean, the other thing, he plays a tougher position. Like, the rules are bent against cornerbacks in this league. And so not only is his job tougher, he's going up against guys, these receivers, where the league wants those players to succeed. Jared Verse is having a really good year. He plays an easier position than Quinion Mitchell.
I don't know about all that, but okay.
So I think you could argue the edge rusher is more important, but I think it's tougher to play corner in the NFL because of the way the rules are structured. So, look, it's debatable, but I just think Quinion, what he's been asked to do, Malik Nabers, Jamar Chase, CeeDee Lamb, Terry McLaurin, I mean, that's a tough stretch of assignments there.
Yeah, but it's not like he's shadowing the guys.
Well, against Terry McLaurin, he was up against him almost the whole game. So you're right that those receivers do move around. They go into the slot, so he's not every snap is not against them. But the ones that he has been, which are not small numbers of snaps, we're not talking 4 or 5 times a game. Like it is, you know, 15, 20, 25 snaps a game he's up against these guys. He's been outstanding against them. And I think that's tougher than if you're Jared Verse, you're going after the quarterback. But it's just a different assignment than obviously what Quinion's asked to do.
Listen, I just wanted to push you a little bit to see how much you really believe what you were saying.
I think he believes it.
That's why I had to test it.
Well, he can convince himself of anything.
Yes. We found that out on Lie Detector Day.
That's why I had
to
test him. Yeah. And who told you he should have been starting their corner from day one?
Insider of the Year candidate Ike Reese.
There he is.
That's right. You guys don't give him enough credit for that.
Well, we...
There's a lot of stuff I don't get enough credit for.
Now, he is cornerback 2 on this team. Does that make it easier than Jared Verse?
Who said he's CB2?
Yeah, I would make the argument he's CB1 on this team.
Slay's still CB1 on this team. Mm. I mean, I think Quinion's better, but Slay's getting the number 1 matchup.
He is?
I think in a playoff game, a must-win situation, if you ask the Eagles, who do you want covering their team's best corner, I think they would pick Quinion at this point.
Probably.
All right. Well, Elliot, we're going to take your little cheat sheet.
Good thing we're never going to find that out.
Yeah. We're going to take your little cheat sheet, and we're going to tweet it at everybody we can see. And I think the case for Q is also a good hashtag.
Let me just say this. Quinionimo Bay is a long nickname, man.
It is.
It is. And like, he said he liked the nickname, which I was surprised by.
Since he says he liked it, we got to roll with it.
Yeah, exactly. Look, I know you guys aren't really one for taking credit for things, certainly not Jack at least, but if we can get this going any Wednesday, who knows? It can be another feather in your guys' cap.
Yeah, there it is.
Is that a new drop?
Yeah.
It sounds like E.T.
It is E.T.
Is that E.T.? Yeah. It sounds like E.T.
Yeah, people have been doing that.
I can't believe I named it.
Yeah. Honestly, the entire clip is amazing. It's just E.T. going, Elliot.
Oh, that's right. The kid's name was Elliot. Yes. I forgot about that.
And it sounds a little like the worm.
Yeah, it does. It does sound like the worm. All right. I guess it's foreshadowing. All right.
Enjoy yourself working on Rodeo Drive, Elliot.
Palm trees and sticky green, man.
There he is.
Exactly.
All right.
All right.
All right. You can get the Go Birds podcast wherever you get your podcast, comes out every single day. By the way, the Twitter.
That's a trip I wouldn't mind taking.
L.A.?
Yeah.
Yeah, L.A.'s good.
I'd hate to fly there, but once I got there, I'd be happy.
I think the problem with L.A. is a two-day L.A. trip. You really need 3 nights.
Right.
So you can.
Because you got to.
Especially because you kill a day coming back.
Right.
It's a 5.5-hour flight.
So you need at least 3 days.
I think so.
3 nights, you're saying?
Okay. Yeah, I think all so. Right. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark says, twice the twinkle this holiday. Win a brand new Harley Davidson or Ike's custom championship ring. Details,
right.
Details at marks-jewelers.com. New poll. Should the Eagles cut Kenny Pickett and sign Daniel Jones? What do you think the response is?
No.
Okay, what do you think the number's at?
90%.
62.
Wow.
Only 62.
Yeah.
Wow, only 62.
Yeah. Also, a lot of kind replies.
Yeah, yeah, I bet. Let's forget about the case for Q. The case for DJ is the new one.
You idiots got anything else to talk about?
Nope.
No. They're 8-2. Yeah. 215-592-9494. Andy in Westchester. You're on WIP. What's up, Andy?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What to do, Andy?
What's up, Andy? Well, so, that's not that one, is it?
No, no.
My bad.
Before we get off today, I have some questions about caller loyalty and show loyalty and things like that. But
I like that.
You accidentally touched on my point earlier, Spike. I say we round out the exciting whites and pick up Daniel Jones and throw him in the backfield. We know he's a good runner.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he can take a pounding. Send him to Pound Town.
Taking everybody to Pound Town, baby.
We're going to sign Daniel Jones just to take him to Pound Town?
Wow. This is out of control.
Yeah.
You did this.
This is out of control,
you wanted
man.
This to happen, buddy. You know what was going to happen.
Pound Town.
But, yeah, I mean, I agree with Ike. I mean, it's...
On the Saquon thing. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to run him. I think if you ask Saquon, he would say he'd give up the whole next year just to win a Super Bowl this year. But it's you got to do what you have to do to win in the end.
I agree with you that Saquon would say that, but I don't think you can always. Saquon could probably have two broken legs and say that he would want the ball. Here's my biggest point on this is I know you're losing a significant amount going from Saquon to Gainwell on snaps. I know that, I'm aware of that. I guess my pushback is that the offensive line is a bigger part of this than I think we talk about a lot. Mm-hmm. Saquon Barkley has been in the league for a number of years and has never been this good. He's always been talented, had mm-hmm. this talent. And I think when I watch them with other backs, Gainwell specifically, like the offense moves. Like
until he has to carry the ball 10 times.
That's a good point. What is he normally at? I probably four or five.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just every other team, almost every other team.
See, I was good on third down. You put me out there on first and second down, and I got to run up against Jack. Relaxing there. And I got to go up against certain fullbacks or what have you. I may not be as effective as a player.
They're really starting to go after Ike Reese now.
I was going to say, you warned Jack like it was going to do
no,
anything.
No, I knew it was coming, yeah.
Yeah, I guess... I just really would love to have this guy be effective for 2 years. And that was the mission coming into this year.
How about 2 months? Get him to be the best he can be over there. Well, we need 3 months, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot.
What would you love more, though, to have another Super Bowl win or to have him healthy for 2 years?
Right.
You know what I would like? 2 shots at the Super Bowl. That's what I want. I want a shot this year and I want a shot next year. And he's so important. And I really don't believe that. Again, I know this is easier said than done, and thank you for the call, Andy. It's easier said than done, but we're really talking about a touch a quarter. That is the difference. It is taking a touch a quarter away from Saquon and giving it to Gainwell. So it's not... So
you're saying you want to get Kenny Gainwell the ball 8 to 10 times?
Yes.
Not in a close game, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't mind it if you go up and you got the seems like you got the victory in hand and you need somebody run the clock out, whatever. I'm perfectly fine with that. Here's the thing, Spike. We get off to such slow starts. Can you imagine if we're not giving Saquon the ball and we're off to a slow start?
You know what I would say? we have these slow starts with Saquon. We can do it with Kenny Gainwell.
Yes, but no, you're absolutely right.
We cannot score with Gainwell.
He usually is the one who breaks us out of it, though.
That's a good point. That is a good point. So we just heard from Elliot, who said it's beautiful in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Do we really have to talk to Tornado Shapiro next? Do we really need
a
forecast?
Yeah.
We don't really need a forecast. We heard it from Elliot. Okay.
I definitely don't trust Elliot.
Well, that's a good point then. Well, you trust Tornado?
Wholeheartedly. Has he misled us once this year?
No, I guess he's been right every week. It's either rained or it hasn't.
And you know he had a legendary time back in L.A.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if Ike appeared in any of those legendary times. I guess we'll find that out, too. So that's all next with the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You know, Jack, this might be the song we remove for the delegation.
Yeah, I always think about that when I play it.
Yeah. We don't need Creed and Pearl Jam.
Too many 90s rock bands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Creed's
that's
better.
That's what I'm
anyway.
Hearing.
Yeah.
That's what they're reporting back to you.
Yeah, I think this is where we put the other one.
I know.
This is what I'm hearing. Spike done came in and just done overstepped. I'm just saying.
I didn't overstep anything.
This one's totally on me. I just like the return.
I'm just saying Spike gets blamed for it all.
Yes,
well, yeah, of
course.
He's like Joel Embiid. And just like Joel, he's pouting.
Oh. Unreal. So we just heard the weather in Los Angeles is fine and good, but we insist on having the official game day forecaster, Tornado Shapiro, on the show. Hi, Tornado.
Hello, man. Tornado Shapiro, game day forecast.
Even though I didn't want to.
We need it.
We're going to L.A., and I'll drop an L.A. name on you. I'm like Charlie Sheen. I just keep winning. Music, please!
It's the game day forecast from the world's most accurate and famous meteorologist, Tornado Shapiro.
Accurate than all of the U.S. of A.
You're not.
Eagle fans, you know, Spike, they travel well, but hey, Philly gals, you got to up your game. This isn't Wildwood. This is Hollywood. Forget the tube socks. Bring the Botox. This is L.A. where the boobs are fake and the grass is real. I know a weather gal out there, WWWLAX, low pressure Patty. She was cheap and easy, just like an In-N-Out burger.
I bet.
And out in Long Beach, it was Pacific Penny. She came in waves. Hello. Forecast every quarter hour.
Oh, no.
Wait till you have a look at her. She had a chin implant, butt implants, fake jugs, fake nails, and a fake laugh. The only thing real on her was the charges on her sugar daddy's credit card. Ouch! Spent a lot of time out there in L.A. You know, I was a stuntman out at the Spahn Ranch before Manson took over. Yeah, broke both ankles, 3 ribs, and 4 cherries. Come on.
All right. No more. That's a lie, and it's also inappropriate.
We were all tooling around out there in the desert one night. It was myself, Eric Dickerson, and a young Ike Reese. Low-pressure Patty brought some of her low-pressure friends. We drank a little, smoked a little, then I showed them what a magic mushroom really looked like.
Whoa! No.
We ended up in Santa Monica. Santa Monica. Monica usually let me play Santa.
Oh.
We exchanged gifts all night. Santa only comes once a year.
No.
Don't believe it. Then we were all there. 2017, Carson Wentz tore his ACL the same day I tore into the S&M club next to the Coliseum. Wentz was a strapping young lad back in 2017, but Tornado was wearing more straps than he was.
Yeah, I bet. Okay.
Biggest thing weather-wise in L.A. is the air quality. We all know that. I knew a veteran weather gal out there, WWWXXL, named Smoggy Moggy. She was smoking. Very heavy smoker. Had a sister named Wheezy. Smoggy worked part-time in Koreatown at the Ukrainian deli down there. Same place Sean McVay met his supermodel wife. Giddy up! How about a McVay-o fish sandwich on a Friday?
Okay.
Ooh, you want fries with that? I'll take the combo platter. You got any more Ukraine gals back there, Veronica?
All right, no more.
Yeah, I was going to say, how long we going?
Yeah,
here?
First of all, it's Los Angeles. Second of all, it's like basically a dome there. Do you have a forecast for Sunday?
L.A. weather, Sunday night, cloudy, 21% chance of rain outside Sophie Stadium. Now, there is a canopy roof that's retractable, and there's a 50% chance that is open. That gives you a 50% chance of rain, brother. Break out the rubbers. Don't take any chances, you Kelly Green pilgrim.
All right.
Outro music.
No. No more. No more.
There's no outro music.
There's no outro music. And that was.
Holy cow.
There was something in there that I didn't know was coming that was over the line.
Sure it was.
Yeah, the entire thing was over the line.
Yes.
I was going to say, sure it was.
Does the guy ever go to work in any of the cities he lives in, or does he just go out gallivanting with Eric Dickerson and Ike Reese?
Oh, yeah, hold up, yeah. I don't remember that night.
Tornado, Eric Dickerson, yeah. Young Ike Reese.
I don't remember that night.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a lot going on in L.A., man. Be careful out there.
Yes, unbelievable. All right, I say Eagles can still limit Saquon's touches. That way we have him for next year. Mm-hmm. Ike says, go to Pound Town all year long. Doesn't care about next year. 215-592-9494. All right.
Oh, that's Tom.
Yeah, but he was talking. Ray in Norristown, you're on WIP. What's up, Ray?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to call in. And you know what, Ike?
Yes.
And Spike?
Yes.
I just want to say that I have a reference point for Ike, and I have a straight comment for Spike. Spike, you are the Einstein of sports talk.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in your IQ. When you started talking,
I didn't know this was coming.
Jones, when you started talking about Daniel Jones, you got me excited in the sense of having a good backup. Jalen Hurts is my guy, so I want him to start and be the guy. But we need someone that has the ability to come in and win games. Referencing back.
And you thought of Daniel Jones?
Won a playoff game on the road.
Absolutely, baby.
I think Saquon won that game.
I think Daniel Jones had the big drive in that game.
Oh, yeah.
Reference to Ike.
Yes.
Ike mentioned well in the beginning of the season, before Saquon got here, that Saquon would, I'm paraphrasing, would do far better behind that offensive line than that horrendous offensive line for the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And you were right.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Notre Dame as you are.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You were right. From
some people say, yeah.
But my main thing is that, you know, I just think that if Daniel Jones was behind a good offensive line as a backup coming in to serve, we have a better chance in tight games. And, you know, I just think this is just a great thought out there that something should be entertained in that.
You know what, Ray? I think there's a very, very low percentage chance of it happening because it's in the middle of the year. I do think it is a move the Eagles would make in an offseason. I think the idea of them, I mean, it's the same thing they just did with Kenny Pickett, really. I mean, the former high draft pick, take a flyer, he's going to be a backup, maybe there will be something more. I think the bigger difference is that Daniel Jones did have one actual year. And the other thing I would say is Daniel Jones' physical tools are better than Kenny Pickett's. Daniel Jones can... Kenny Pickett doesn't look like he can even throw the ball. Daniel Jones is a good runner and can throw the ball. So I would just be curious about Jones. Maybe not during this season, but I would be curious if they could get him as a backup. I would be interested to see with the... with all of the nonsense of New York gone and all of that gone, if a rebirth was possible somewhere, and I think it would be worth a flower. I don't think they'll do it here, but I do think it would be worth a flower in the offseason if they had the opportunity to do it.
I agree with that. Hey, can I get some Ike juice today?
Hook him up. They must have been drinking that Ike juice. Ike juice, Ike
juice. There we okay. go. All right, Ray. Appreciate you, buddy. We have some... You remember Colt McCoy, right, Ike?
Mm-hmm.
Colt McCoy was talking about Jalen Hurts. We'll get to that in a moment. Mm. We'll see what he had to say. Tom from Vancouver, you're on WIP. What's up, Tom?
Hello, gentlemen.
What up, Tom?
What up, Tom?
You know, I think, shouldn't Yoshi be following Tornado?
Huh?
Wouldn't that make more? Is it Yoshi? Who's the one?
Oh, who, Yoshi. No, we cannot combine Yoshi and Tornado Shapiro.
We can't do that.
That would be the most dangerous thing. Yeah, we would create some sort of STD that would be undefeated, I think. So Tornado and Yoshi, I think, is something we have to keep them apart.
I don't know. Tornado and Yoshi, they might be able to compete with the exciting whites.
Excitement. Yeah, you know? There would certainly be excitement. The kind of excitement is probably not appropriate for the air. Tornado is even over the line for the air. So
here's my Saquon take. We know that Lurie really wants to throw the ball, and yet they're not throwing. Aren't they 32nd in the league in throwing or something right now in passing?
Yeah.
And then Kellen Moore wants to throw the ball. He's showing that in his previous stops. And Saquon Hurts, the combo, that's the only reason why the team looks more like it did or in 2022. Because Hurts, you know, he's not having to run as much. We know that he's been struggling with a little bit of injury. So, yeah, I think it's really important to keep it there. And I totally agree with Ike. And I'd like to have Shipley join as well, the exciting whites.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to see more from him. And maybe if we get through this and we get to the Panthers and if we've been fortunate enough and hardworking enough to have gotten racked up two more wins, then maybe we could see more of Shipley against the Panthers and we could see what he could do.
I would love to see Shipley more in a blowout or something. I think that's not exactly what blowouts are great. I think we all agree if the Eagles are up 20 points in the fourth quarter, get Saquon Barkley out of the game. I think the difference is and I think the Eagles would feel the same way. Well, they obviously, but considering the way they play them, in the heat of the game, in the regular game, I think Gainwell is closer to where we need him to be than Shipley is right now. If we're talking about blowout in the fourth quarter, you can put whoever the hell you want in there. But I think at this point, they obviously trust Gainwell more in the non-blowout times than they do Shipley.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that one, Spike. The thing is that I just don't think that these games, I don't think that the Eagles are far enough ahead to be able to really risk putting Gainwell in. I think that that's the issue. And next year, Jalen's going to be a better thrower if we hopefully still have Kellen Moore again. So, you know, there'll be less need to have Saquon performing at his elite level.
Yeah, I
agree.
Thank you for the call, Tom. I
agree with that.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Jalen will be in the second year in the offense.
You know what?
Kellen Moore's not going anywhere. You think somebody's hiring Kellen Moore? I'm just saying in general for people who think that when we're running the ball more than anybody in the league, who's in a rush to hire Kellen Moore?
Yeah, right. Like,
running the ball. He's not showing you a dynamic offense.
I could be the offensive coordinator at this point. I think the idea, what really shook me on the Jalen getting better next year is Jack the other day reading his draft profile. And that everything in the draft profile seems to be the same limitation that it is.
What
right
about
now.
What about when Mike Lombardi said they're 32nd in pass attempts?
That one too.
By the way, yeah. By the way, with your draft profile,
yes.
Well, it was damning. Man, it was damning. But when you hear what the weaknesses are, this is why when I tell you guys it's more impressive the success he's had at the quarterback position versus guys who didn't have those weaknesses, who came in with strong arms, the ability to read this, do all those other things that were drafted higher than him and in the first round, he's still having success as an individual and overall as a team with all those limitations.
I agree
with those limitations.
I agree with that in that context. Absolutely.
That's the context of saying he's exceeding expectations. Would we not agree Jalen Hurts has exceeded expectations?
I would agree with that.
Okay.
I don't think there's any doubt there.
Okay.
I don't think there's any doubt. So we'll get what a former NFL quarterback Colt McCoy had to say about Jalen.
Yep. It'll be nice and positive. Yeah, don't worry.
Jack's going to tell you, you doing a little thing this weekend?
Not this weekend. Okay. It's more a season long.
Reading off more all names?
Right. All right. No.
I might have cost myself.
Yeah.
I don't know if people are lining up to have old Fritzy be the old MC.
Yeah.
But who knows? When I watch the Eagles at home, I get Miller Lite for my local Acme. So this season, when you go to your Acme for your game day Miller Lite, register for a chance to win WIP's Ultimate Home Gating Giveaway presented by, of course, Miller Lite. That includes a Weber grill, a 50-inch LG TV, a $750 Acme gift card, a Miller Lite cooler, and the grand prize Birds legend Brent Celek and myself watching an Eagles game at your house. For info and participating Acme market locations, go to 94WIP.com. It's Miller time, Eagles fans. Celebrate responsibly.
So my thing is this. So let's say you win that, which is a great prize.
Yeah.
And you tell your buddies, guess what? Guess what's going to happen on Sunday? We're going to watch the Birds game. We're going to get all this cool stuff. And Brent Celek's going to come watch the game. And they're like, yeah. And you know who else is coming? Jack Fritz.
Watch Jalen together.
It doesn't quite hit the same way, but it does sound like a good prize anyway.
Thanks.
I say that, you know, I say that jokingly. Who doesn't want Jack in their house staring at his phone for 3.5
hours?
We'll
talk about the Phillies.
Okay. So Colt McCoy does a podcast with Jay Gruden.
Allegedly.
It is called the Clean Pocket Podcast. And Colt McCoy had this to say about Mr. Hurts. It does sound like the same thing that you say, honestly. You don't see him out there doing anything crazy. As long as he doesn't screw it up, they're going to win.
Didn't feel like it sounds like what I know.
It's not the same way that Ike says it. Yes. But yes, message is still mostly the message.
Yeah, you're right. It's still mostly the same thing. And, well, and listen, I understand the questions that any will have. Can you actually go out and win? Can you beat the Lions playing this way? Can you win the Super Bowl playing this way? I understand that question. I really do. Only thing I can say is I think when it's called upon, he's going to have to make plays. Through the air. Just is. You know, I'd be more shocked if we just ran our way to a title, right? Even with the number one rushing offense we had in 17, big throws had to be made by Nick Foles.
Yeah.
Right? Like they had to be made.
When you watch that championship game in the Super Bowl without Nick Foles making those throws, they don't win the game.
No. Not the Alshon throw, the throw to Corey Clement. The Zach Ertz touchdown, like he had to make plays. He made a few other throws in that game that were big third down conversions. So I agree from that standpoint. But this is I just gotta hope that it doesn't cost us. Like that's all I can do. Yeah. That's all I can do. All I can do is I can either hope that it doesn't cost us in the end, and I can hope when he's called upon, put it this way. The 22 team, Jalen certainly threw the ball well that year, but he didn't throw the ball a ton.
No, he didn't.
He didn't throw the ball a ton. You can go look at his passing numbers. They weren't all that great. 22 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. I think like 3,700 yards, I believe he threw for. His best passing game, I remember, I think it was Tennessee. He had a great game that game. AJ blew up that game.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh.
Yep.
I think he had a big game that game. But when I'm just talking about impressive based on the opponent, it was the Super Bowl. Like, he had to throw in the Super Bowl. Kansas City wasn't letting us run the football like that. Hey, they said, Jalen, you're going to have to beat us throwing the ball. And he did a great job throwing the ball. So that's all I can sort of hang my hat on.
Well, and by the way, Nick Foles certainly had his runs in the NFL, but it's not like anyone was going into the Super Bowl, going into the playoffs saying, look, in a shootout, I'm super confident that Nick Foles is going to light up the New England Patriots or the Minnesota Vikings, right? Nobody was super confident. It can certainly happen.
It wasn't until that Vikings game that anybody was super confident.
No, we were talking about
the Falcons game. We were fortunate to win.
We're talking about playing Sudfeld.
Yeah, I mean, we escaped that Falcons game. And then Nick broke out of it. But like I was saying, when he's called upon to do it, he's going to have to do it. He has the weapons. So it's not as if he has to put the team on his back and do what some quarterbacks have done with lesser talent at the receiver position. The good thing for him, he has the talent at his disposal.
I would say, and this is not something that hasn't been brought up this year, and we all know it's a weakness of theirs, to win this way, if I could fix one thing about the Eagles, the thing that they are going to have to figure out is how to get rid of this early game stuff.
Yes.
Because they have been, lucky is the wrong word, but they.
Fortunate, though.
But the defense has bailed them out so many times in the first half because they haven't been able to do it.
It keeps them in the game.
And that is, if we're talking about Saquon, by the way, that is also a recipe for getting him fewer touches in the fourth quarter of games is not so. The truth is that the thing that could really screw them is falling behind, and if the defense isn't quite as great in a first half, that's when that. But if you want to minimize the chance of that happening, and even let's say they even could win a Super Bowl with not throwing the ball a ton, the only way that you're going to do it is if you're ahead more than you're behind. I know that sounds elementary, but it is going to be something that I think will truly be the thing that hurts them in the end in this whole scenario is not being able to score earlier in the games.
Yep.
If I could fix one thing, it would be that thing. So, you want to go to Rick? Yeah, sure. Let's go to Rick. Rick in Lancaster, you're on WIP. What's up, Rick?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Oh, Ricky. Rick, you have no idea how great.
Okay. First off, with this quarterback, I think there's something wrong with you even suggesting something like that. Don't hang up on me.
I don't hang up on anybody.
Oh, okay.
No.
Anyway, I think that we could keep him getting Saquon the same amount of touches.
Wait a minute. You think I'm crazy suggesting the Daniel Jones thing? Why?
No, forget it. Let's not argue about
that.
The thing I want to talk about Saquon.
Yes, go ahead.
The thing is, if you could just give him some dump-off passes and some screens or something, he doesn't.
The quarterback can't throw it, Rick.
Oh, come on,
what? He can't make the throw.
10 yards? Come on.
No,
it sounds crazy. But you would think they would do it if I just...
Even I have to admit, we can't run a screen.
You know what, Rick?
I don't know what the hell the problem is.
It's not about throwing it 10 yards. It's that
it's
it is...
It's not even 10 yards. It's
7
it's,
yards. Yeah,
yeah. It's behind the line of scrimmage.
A little bit of touch.
You know what it is, Rick? It is... That play is a timing play, and it happens generally pretty quickly, and that is... He is great at making plays when he needs to, at those sort of like, you know, waiting around, find a guy, that's a dodge a defender. But those timing throws that happen early in the play, he does struggle with, and a screen is that. Now, there's been a couple of times where they've run a play action, and it's happened but they have struggled throwing screens.
We can't run a screen, bro.
That's on him. Yeah, that's on him.
Sorry. Okay, yeah. Run the screen.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I got you on that. But still, there's got to be a way to get the ball to him. He doesn't have to take that beating.
Sure. The little dump-offs and the flats. Yeah, I like that idea. I do. I like that idea.
I think that would be great, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you know.
Do that more. Keep him out of the inside. Don't get him beat up as much in there.
Well, especially if no Devontae this weekend, put him in the slot.
No Devontae this weekend, man. That's going to be tough.
It's going to be a Grant Calcaterra game, I'm telling you.
Yeah, you told us to bet it.
I bet the over on Grant Calcaterra yards.
Yeah, again, you
can bet. What happened to Dallas Goedert?
Well, because he seems...
you mean he's still going to go to Grant Calcaterra?
Well, I just think if there's no Devontae, who am I thinking is most likely to pick like that sort of...
Jahan Dotson.
I don't think so. Hurts seems comfortable throwing to Calcaterra.
Oh, he is.
I would Look, I don't know what his over-under is going to be. It's probably going to be 20 yards.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, it's going to be, yeah, it yeah. Be
again,
crazy.
Again, that's minus 110 odds. Anytime touchdowns.
Anytime touchdowns.
Come
Spike.
On, Spike.
That's what we
Grow
do,
up.
Baby.
Man up, man down.
FanDuel sitting on Little Walker's college fund right now because of you.
But don't let me get hot.
Yeah. Oh, you've been saying that for years. They're waiting. They're going to risk it.
Say, there's no such thing as getting hot.
Yeah, they're risking
well,
it.
Well, I guess we can get hot for like a week or two.
Just one bet.
Yeah.
The FanDuel corporate offices are like, Fritz is saying, don't let them get hot. Let's give it a try.
You can't win it all back if you don't participate.
All right.
That's true.
Let's talk to Jaws next. Love Jaws. Jaws watches a lot of tape. Can give us a lot of something on the Rams as well. So we'll talk to Ron Jaworski next.